am getting quite a few errors on this particular layout. And so I want to go over that with access. So I ask a question, and I say, condition A. And I want it where condition A has to be true. Okay, so if condition A has to be true, and I want either of two other conditions have to be true, either one, I don't care which. If it's condition B, I process. If it's not condition B, I have another chance, and that is it condition C? And if it's condition C, I process. And if it's none of those, I have nothing to do, or it might be an error. Okay, so I'm saying condition A has to be true, and either condition B or condition C. Okay? So if I have that, and I have my user interface in access, and I have my first thing is A, B, and C. Okay? What one, how do I fill this in? A has to be true, right? A has to be true. So A is on both the criteria line and the OR line, because A has to be true. And then either B or C. So it can be B or it can be C. Either B or C. But A has to be true, or either B or C. And I'm sending this back to a bunch of people, so I thought I would go over it one more time. Questions? Does that make sense? A has to be true, so I put it on both the criteria and the OR line. And then I want either B or C. Okay, so I put either B or C. Questions? Okay, if I write this in SQL, in a select statement, I'm going to say condition A and either condition B or condition C. And what do I need to add to that statement? The way I've got it written isn't going to work. What do I have to add?
A parenthesis.
Parenthesis, where?
Between condition B and condition C.
Around condition B and C. Okay. So here I'm saying condition A and either B or C. And without the parenthesis, it wouldn't have worked, because ands get resolved before ors. So it would have combined the A and the B, and the C would have stood alone. Okay? So if I had had A and B or C, then what does it do? It combines the A and the B, and the C stands alone. John, did you get your disc back?
That's not mine.
That's not yours?
No, it wasn't.
I thought it was him.
Okay. Well, I turned it into the help desk anyway. If anybody's missing a disc.
A pink long flasher.
Okay.
That email you sent me, but can I resubmit that?
Yes. Okay. Everything can be resubmitted except quizzes and tests. Some tests can, but not, mostly not. Quizzes and tests can't be, but homework can be. Okay, so condition A and B or C, I put the parenthesis in and it changes the order. The order of operation is ands de la sole before ors. And so it grouped those and this stands alone. But if I put the parenthesis in, parentheses get resolved first. So then it becomes A and either B or C. And that's what I want, is A and either B or C. So if you had problems with that, and as I said, I've sent back a bunch, so I wanted to go over it. Questions? The other thing is, we talked briefly about the homework assignment, and the homework assignment basically all involves loops. So whatever I'm doing, I'm saying do an initializing read, check for end of file. If it's not end of file, process. And then come back and check, and I process continually until it finally hits end of file and I stop. And in process, the last thing is to read a record. So I always come out of here with a new record ready to check. Or if when it read the record, it hit end of file, then when it comes back here after it finishes process, it comes over and says it is end of file, so it stops. But as long as it's not end of file, it reads a record, comes back, checks, as long as it's not in the file, it processes that new record. So the record keeps getting processed. And that's going to be the pattern in all of the assignments. All of the problems in that assignment. Okay. So those are the two things I wanted to look at. And now we are going to start looking at JavaScript. Well, it's that relationship.
Are you using this PowerPoint right
now? Huh?
That's just homework.
You've got another quick quiz that's due next Thursday. Those I don't take late. So that's why I put the date on there. It's due October 10th and I don't take it late. Okay, so we're starting JavaScript. And Java and JavaScript are not the same. Java is a very powerful language that is used for a whole variety of things. JavaScript is also powerful now. It didn't at the beginning, but it's also powerful, but it's used mainly within HTML to give HTML power. Okay, because again, if you're going to call something a programming language or call yourself programming, then you have to have the ability to ask questions and you have to have the ability to loop. And HTML doesn't give you that ability. But when I insert JavaScript into HTML, I do get that ability. Now, the first few examples we're going to look at don't involve loops and don't involve decisions. They just involve things that I really didn't need JavaScript for. But I'm basically showing you how JavaScript can be used to do everything. Okay, so where you want to go is over here under Programs and JavaScript. And we're going to look at Programs JavaScript. So the first one says hello. Hello world. Okay, so far so good, huh? So this says, hello world, okay? So, now I'm going to look at the code behind it. Now notice there are two things here. There is the line up there that says, hello world, and there is the pop-up that says, hello world. Okay, so I'm seeing it in both things. So I'm gonna click on okay, and now I right-click and do view page source. Now, I'm in Firefox. If you want to match with me, you're going to be in Firefox. If you want to be in something else, then you've got to figure out what it is that it says to get you to see the page source. Okay? So view page source, and I'm going to paste that in. Okay, so you right click and you choose view page source. Or it may say just page source or something, but it's going to say something like that. What view page source does is show you the code. Okay, so now I am looking at the code that made that. Okay, I'm looking at the code that made it. So, the first line says HTML. Okay, because I'm inserting it within HTML. I can have all the things about head, body, and all that here, but I don't have to have them. I can just put some JavaScript inside the tag that says HTML. Now, it would like a little more, which is why I gave you the red, because I didn't give it all of the information it would like, but it still works. So I said HTML, and then I said script, and this is a key word here, script, because that's what tells the browser that I'm leaving HTML and I'm using JavaScript, okay? Because the browser needs to know that. It needs to know that we're now looking at JavaScript. And when I end my JavaScript, I close the script. And then I can go on with other HTML if I want to, okay? So I've got script, and I wrote type equals text JavaScript, just in case the browser needed to know that. In fact, the browser is going to make that assumption, so probably that isn't going to be necessary. Then I said a document write. What I'm doing there is I'm doing something called a function. I'm doing the write function. The write is writing onto the document, and the document is the area in the page that I can write on between the top and the bottom. It's the area that I can write on. It's the document. Okay? So I'm saying document write. And the thing I want to write is in the parentheses. Okay? So it's doing the write function, and the write function is going to write what's in the parentheses. I wanted to write the words hello world, so those are alliterative. Okay? And I put that in quotes to tell it that this isn't the name of a field, it's not a variable. It is exactly what I want to write, a loop. So I'm writing hello world, and it wrote it up at the top. Then the pop-up is the alert, and this did the pop-up that gave me hello world, the literal hello world. So they both said hello world, okay? And then they both said the same literal. The alert does it in a pop-up. The document write put it on the form. Then I close the script, and I close the HTML. Okay. Now, clearly, there was no reason I had to go into JavaScript to do the document write. I could have just done a paragraph or a division or whatever and put hello world, okay, and written it out. So I didn't need JavaScript for this, but I can still use it. Okay. Questions?
So the document dot write is just stating that you're writing to a document. What does that mean by literal?
Literal is I literally want to write what's in quotes. It's called a literal. When I put something in quotes and say I want to write what's inside the quotes, it's a literal. And I can say that without putting my hands up and doing quotes. I really can.
I'm sorry, you're the pop-up?
Pardon me?
Pop-up. I don't understand why.
The alert puts up a pop-up. Okay, so if I close this down,
That thing that came up that said...
That thing that came up. So if I refresh this, that's the pop-up. It just is a box that popped up.
You have to put that in there?
Yes, alert makes a pop-up.
Okay.
I'm showing you that professionally. It's probably not used too often, mainly because people get really annoyed with pop-ups. And there are some security issues as well. Okay, so the next one we're going to look at is multiply HTML. Okay, so this one is coming up with a pop-up as well, but this pop-up is asking for data. And so I'm going to put in a 5. Okay, and then I'm going to click OK. Now notice what I hit here. When I started out, this has the message, enter the first number, and there was a 0 in there. And now I'm changing it to a 5. Okay? And then I click OK, and it comes up with the next one, and it says enter the second number, and there's a 0 there, and I'm going to enter 7, and it says OK, and it comes back with the answer, 35, because I said this was multiply. 5 times 7 is 35. Okay? So this is something that HTML doesn't do. It doesn't do calculations. Okay, so I've now got the calculation here. And what I've said is, and right-click and it brings up the code. And you should right-click and bring up the code on your screen so you can read it easier. Okay? So I've got a script, type equals text JavaScript. And then I said I'm going to set up some variables, which means I'm setting up areas in memory. So I'm setting up an area in memory that I'm calling answer, ANS. I'm setting up another area in memory that I'm calling first num. And I'm setting up another area that I'm calling second num. Notice there are no embedded spaces, okay, in my names here. Microsoft and Access forgave you for embedded spaces. You won't be forgiven here. You need to not have embedded spaces in the names. You can change case, so a lot of people might do first and then a capital N on num, so that it makes it easier to read. You can use an underscore, but you can't have an embedded space. So I set up these three memory variables, and I put 0 in each of them. And remember that equal sign is not an equal sign, it's an assignment sign. Because what I'm doing is saying, take 0 and assign it to answer. Put it into answer. Take 0 and put it into first num. Take 0 and put it into second num. So they all now have 0 in them. And then I drop down and I do that prompt that you saw, which gave me the pop-up. And the prompt, remember, said the message, enter the first number, and there was a 0 inside the box. That's how I got the 0 inside the box. And that's how I got the message. So it came up and said, enter the first number. And then I dropped down when I hit the OK on it and said, enter the second number, and it entered the second number. So let's say I got the prompt and I made the first number the 5 and the second number the 7. Okay? So that's the numbers that I put in. Then I came down and I said, okay, answer equals first num times second num. So I did that and came up with the 35. And then it said document write answer. Now notice answer is not in quotes because this is a variable. Okay, these are all variables this is a variable. If I had put answer in quotes, I wouldn't have seen 35, I would have seen ANS, because it would have given me the literal ANS. Feel free to turn it off if it annoys you.
I was like, what is that? Is that a computer going on?
Nah. It's something to do something with the air. So, ANS, if it was in quotes again, I would see ANS. But it's, and it would be a literal. But it's not in quotes. So that says, go find the contents of answer and display it on the screen. So I went and found the 35 and displayed it on the screen. Okay? Questions? Okay, let's look at the third one. Again, I'm going to put in the 5 and the 7. And now it is saying the answer is 35. So the difference here is the document right has two things in it. It has a literal that it is putting out, and it is putting out the contents of the variable. And the comma is the separator. Okay, the comma is the separator. So I am saying put out the literal that says the answer is, then I'm putting out a comma. And then I'm saying answer. Okay? Questions? Okay, so what do I do when I want to write this? I have this code that I'm going to write, only I'm going to copy and paste. And I'm going to bring up Notepad. And I am putting it in Notepad or in Notepad++. So I'm putting it in Notepad or quiet, please. Quiet, please. Okay. I want Notepad or Notepad++. It has to be a text editor. If you're using an Apple product, it's TextEdit, I think, is the name of the editor in the Apple product. But you have to use a text editor. Don't do it in Word, because Word fixes things for you, okay? And you don't want that happening. It has to be done in a text editor. So I'm putting it in Notepad as if I had written it, okay? And then I do a file save as, and I'm going to save it as multiply MULT1 with a .html extension. So I'm saving it as mult1.html, and I'm changing that to all files, and I'm going to save it on my E drive. So I've saved it on my E drive as mult1.html. Now I go into my browser to bring this up and see it. I like Firefox mainly because, mainly because it gives me a menu, and I'm very fond of menus. So if you click on the little three lines and the sideline here, if you click on that, and it gives you, right-click on it, it gives you a menu bar. My menu bar is already up because I already clicked on it. But if you don't have a menu bar, if you right-click on those, you will get a menu bar. Okay? And the menu bar is very helpful. Okay. So now I want to run this, and okay, apparently I turned off the menu bar. Clever. Okay, now my menu bar is back on. So now I go in and I can say file, open file, and I can go to my E drive and I can find MULT1, which is what I called it. And there is my program. Okay, so I'll put in a 6 and a 3. And I get 18. Okay? And if I do a write, I see my code. Okay? Okay, so now what I want you to do is go in and write one. And don't copy and paste, actually write. Change this to a divide and go in and do the problem just for the experience of writing it and setting it up. So go in and write some code, but change it to a divide just so you're changing something. Save it and then run it. So you want to then, after you write it in Notepad, you want to save it with a .html extension, and then you want to write it. Clearly, you're discussing JavaScript, right?
No, we're discussing. I'm telling them how my computer can handle certain things.
So, write one, save it, bring it up, and run it. Don't trust yourself, maybe you can copy and paste a little so you don't make errors. You're supposed to be going into Notepad and writing the same thing that I wrote.
But you said divide, I don't know how to do that.
A slash.
Just a
forward-leaning slash for a divide. A divide is a forward-leaning slash.
Can you zoom this in? Because I feel like people in the back might not be able to see it.
Yeah, but they should be able to bring it up on their own.
Yeah, I have it on my computer.
Right. Yes, I have it. Okay, so there's another version of it. the one that I copied and pasted. I should have mentioned, and I didn't, there is a semicolon after every line. Notice that. Those are required. Yeah.
That's the line.
Yeah. Also down there.
Oh, so both is right.
Yep. Another one. Okay, so divide is the forward leaning slash. So again, save it as .html, give it a name. I call mine mult1.html. Now if I'm going to make it a divide, I'm going to call it div1 or something. Yeah.
Quick question. Within your document, right, you want to say the first number divided by the second number equals the answer. If you just put the variable, then will it show up, or is there something else you have to do in order for it to
show up? No, you can have it show up, and you can have a comma after answer and put another variable literal in there. So it should be a comma. Yeah. Okay, the main purpose of this is to get the idea that you write it, save it as .html, open it in the browser, and run it. And as I said, the reason I like Firefox is because it brings me a menu. And if you use other things, you've got to go and look and see what code it is that you have to type. Questions? Has everybody got it going? I want to move on, so if you haven't got it all done, do some copying and pasting to get it to work. Save it, and then open it in a browser. Questions. Okay, then I'm going to move on. If you didn't get it working, go back to it and try again at some point. Okay, the next one I'm going to look at is the add, actually, add number. Now, I'm going to put in the 5 and the 7 that I did before. And it came out with two answers. One is 57 and one is 12. So I'm doing a view page source so that I can see the code. Thank you. And there's a big version if you want the big version. Okay, so what I'm doing is saying here, all the things are the same up until I get down to the calculation. So I set up the variables. The difference is that I added another variable called another answer. So I have answer and I have another answer. Again, notice that there is a semicolon at the end of all of the lines. And I should have said that at the beginning and didn't. But there's a semicolon at the end of all the lines. Then I said first num and I prompted for the first num. Then I said second num and prompted for the second num. And then I added them. And I did a document write. And I got the answer is 57. Okay. Clearly, 5 plus 7 is not 57. The problem is that the plus sign means two things. It means concatenate, and it means add. And the browser has to figure out which one it should do, whether it should concatenate or whether it add. Concatenate is taking two things and pushing them up next to each other, making them one. So I gave it 5 and 7, and it chose to concatenate. So it pushed the 5 and the 7 up against each other, and I got the answer is 57. So it was choosing to concatenate. Okay. So then on the next one, I came in and I said, okay, I'm going to convince the browser that this is a number. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to put parse float. Notice the capital F on float. So I'm putting parse float in front of first num and parse float in front of second num. So parse float means take whatever this is and try to make it a decimal. If I didn't want to make it a decimal, if I wanted to use whole numbers, which I've been doing, I can use parse int for parse integer. And that gives me, will convert anything to a whole number. But parse float gives me more flexibility in that I can enter in 5.6 if I want to, instead of just 5. So parse float convinces the browser that this is a number because it does a conversion and tries to convert it to a number. So therefore, the browser takes that and says, oh, I should add. And so it adds them together. And the other answer is 12. And when I write out other answer, I see the 12. Okay? So when I first told it to add, it defaulted to doing concatenating. I had to convince the browser that they were numbers, and then it did an add. Okay? And the way I convinced the browser they're numbers is to say, take the number and convert it to a number if you can. If I type ABC in there, it's not going to be able to convert it to a number and I won't get the right answer. In fact, we'll try that in a minute. Notice also the BR that I have down here. I have a document write BR. And that's kind of an interesting thing. JavaScript is acting inside HTML. So it is sending down to the browser the literal BR enclosed in the less than greater than tags. So it's sending down the BR symbol. The browser gets the BR and makes a break. So I actually am sitting here in JavaScript and saying, but I want to do a HTML break. So I send it the literal less than BR greater than. It receives that and says, oh, less than and greater than, make that a tag. So I've got a tag for BR, so I'll skip down a line. And that works beautifully. so I get a new line. I actually could have put the BR in right before the answer is. I could have stuffed the BR right in there, and it would have also broken. Well, done a break. Not broken. Done a break. So I could have taken and put in the BR right here, and then it would have still been inside quotes, and so it would have sent down BR, the answer is, and it would have done a break. Okay. So if I try this, I'm going to save this as file, save as, and I'm going to put it on my E drive and call it add1.html. And I'm going to save it under all files. So I've saved add1. And now I'm going to come over here and do a file, open file. And I'm going to open add1. So I'm entering the 5. I'm entering the 7. It gets me 57 and it skipped down 2 lines. Okay? Because I did 2 breaks. I left the break that I had and I threw in another break. And so it went down 2 lines and left me a blank line in between. Okay, so that got me the 2 lines. Now if I try running this again, and I put in ABC for the first number, and 7 for the second number, it comes back okay, it comes back and says, okay, when you concatenate it, it's ABC7. But when I try to do the math, it doesn't work. And NAN tells me that I can't do the calculation. It gives you that number when it tries to do math and can't. It gives you NAN. Okay? Now, there are a couple of other ways that we can tell the browser that it is dealing with numbers. And the next example does that. Questions on this before I close it? Okay, so the next one is add number continue. And I'm saying here, enter the first number, and I'll enter my 5 and a 7. And it gives me the right answer, or actually the wrong answer first, and then the right answer 3 times. Okay. So on this one, I've got parse float again. And as I said, that could also have been parse integer. And I'm not sure I did parse integer. So that one can also be parse integer. I can also tell it it's a number by putting the field in parentheses and putting a plus in front of it. Or putting the field in parentheses and putting the word number with a capital N in front of it. And those are other ways that I can convince the browser that I'm using numbers, because what happens is the browser attempts to convert firstNum into a number. And so if I'm converting it, trying to convert it into a number, then I make the assumption that I want a number coming out. The browser makes the assumption I want a number coming out. Okay, the other thing here is that when I wrote this one, I made a mistake that I get away with frequently. And that's why I left it. Other answer is defined. Answer is defined. Plus answer is not defined. Number answer is not defined. I should have defined them, okay? But they're not defined. But it worked. And the reason is that when it sees me doing a calculation and assigning it to something, it says, oh, they must want that to be a variable, and it sets it up for me. If I had first tried to use plus answer over inside the calculation part on the right, then it would have given me an error. Because it says, you want me to add plus answer, and I have no idea what that is, therefore I'm giving you an error. But if it's on the left side, which is where I assign the answer to, it says, oh, you must want that set up as a variable, and it sets it up for me. Now, am I encouraging you to do this? No. Do I do it periodically? Yes. Mainly because I just forget. Okay, this problem was copied and pasted from the previous problem. I added stuff in. I forgot to add the variables. And I leave it there because I want to make this point that you can get away with that. And the reason I got away with it is when it adds first num and second num and says, oh, assign it to plus answer. It says, wait a minute, I don't have a plus answer. I'll assign it. I'll make it. But if I had put plus answer inside the calculation part, it would have said, I don't know what you're talking about. And I would have had an error. Okay. Questions? Okay, so that's just basically a way that I can... other ways that I can use. I tend to use pass integer and pass float the most, but you can use anything you want. Okay, the next one is math answer. And here I'm entering in the first number. Quiet, please. I entered in the first num. I entered in the second num. And then it asked me to enter an asterisk or a slash. So I am entering in an asterisk because I want to do a multiply. And I said, okay. And it came out with the answer is 35. So here's what I have. I have a third prompt, and I have it being assigned to a variable I call what to do. This time I didn't give what to do a value. I didn't tell it what I wanted it to start out as. I just left it, and that's acceptable as well. So I set up the variable what to do, but I didn't assign it any value. I could have assigned it a quote, quote, which gives you nothing. Quote, quote gives you nothing. Okay? So then I came down, and now I have my if statement. And my if statement is asking if what to do is equal to an asterisk. Okay, now... notice how it's asking that question. It's got two equal signs. Okay? And the two equal signs means equal. where one equal sign is an assignment. So one equal sign is an assignment sign. Two equal signs compares for equal. Okay? So what I've got here is now more of a program than I've had before. So I'm saying start, and then I am assigning my variables. So I'm setting up my variables. Okay? And then I'm doing my prompts. And again, an I/O statement is done in a parallelogram as opposed to a calculation which is done in a rectangle. So I now am putting up my prompts. If I wanted to, I could have written three boxes there for each of the prompts, but I don't have room. So I'm just saying put up my prompts. Then I'm dropping down and I'm saying, okay, I want to compare what to do, and I want to compare it to asterisks. Now, I could use simply a simple equal sign in here because this is pseudocode, flowchart, it doesn't matter. But when I go to the real thing, I've got to use the two equal codes. So now I've got the yes, and if I get a yes, I am doing the multiply. And if I get the no, I'm doing the divide. Okay? So if they put in an asterisk, I'm doing a multiply. If they didn't put in an asterisk, I'm doing a divide. Then I drop down and I'm going to write, and then I'm going to stop. So that's the logic that I'm going through. I'm taking in the variables, I'm taking in the prompts, then I'm checking to see if what to do equals an asterisk, and if it does, I multiply. If it doesn't, I divide. And then I take whatever the result is and write it out. What happens if, instead of, when it asks me what to do, what happens if I put in a Z? That's right, it's going to do a divide. Anything other than an asterisk, it's going to do the divide. Because I'm only asking, is it an asterisk? And if it's an asterisk, I'm doing the multiply. Otherwise, anything else, I'm going to do the divide. Okay? So that's not a very good idea, and we'll fix that up in a minute. So now my if statement. Notice that the condition is in parentheses. Okay? So my condition is in parentheses. Okay? Notice also that what I want to do if it's true is in curly braces, and what I want to do if it's false is in curly braces. So I enclose what I want to do if it's true in curly braces, else what I want to do if it's false is in curly braces. If I didn't have an else there, if I didn't have anything to do, if it's asterisk I want to multiply, otherwise I want to do nothing, then I would not have an else and I wouldn't have to have anything there. So it's okay not to have an else, but usually you want to have an else. Okay? So it would say else, and then I do the divide. Okay. So, now I want to change this, and I want to ask another question. Okay, so I don't want to just say do a divide. I want to ask the question about the divide. Okay. So what I'm going to do is just show you the decision part of the whole chapter, because yes, it's the same. So if it's an asterisk, I want to do the multiply. If it is not, I want to ask the question, is it a divide? And if it is, I want to do the divide. And if it's not, I am going to put out an error message letting them know that I had an error. Okay? So now I am checking to see. If it is a multiply, I multiply. If it's not, I ask, is it a divide? And if it is, I divide. And if it's not a divide, it's an error. Okay? So that's the logic that I want to put into my program now. So here is the program that I have. Okay? And I am going to make some changes to this. So I'm going to call it file save as multdiv.html. Okay, so if the answer is a no, I'm going to put another whole question inside here. I'm going to ask another whole question. So if it is a multiply, a time sign, I do the multiply. Else, okay, and here is what I want to do. I want to, inside those two curly braces, I want to put the next question that I want to ask. Okay, so inside those curly braces, I'm going to put the next question. So I'm going to say, if what to do equals a divide, and again, it's all inside parentheses. So if what to do equals a divide, then what I want to do inside curly braces is say answer equals first num divided by second num. Okay? And then I'm going to close the curly braces. And then I'm going to put in the else. And I'm going to say else. And I need curly braces to put what I want to do if it's an else. So I'm going to say answer equals error. Okay. So I'm writing answer equals error. And then I'm going to close the curly brace there. Okay, so I'm now saying if what to do equals a slash, do the divide, else put the word, the literal error into answer. Okay, and notice that you have to have these curly braces all open and closed. So this is what I want to do if it's true. This is what I want to do if it's false. Within the false, I'm asking another question. This is what I want to do if it's true. This is what I want to do if it's false. Okay? Questions. Okay, so I'm going to do a file save on this and hope I didn't have an error. And we will try running this. So I say file, open file, and it's called multdivide. And I say enter the first number, and it's 5. enter the second number, and it's 3. Or actually, okay, sure. The answer is an error. Okay, because I didn't, somehow I missed the whole third thing. Enter the first number, enter the second number, 6 and 3. Enter this, so I'm going to put in a divide, and it gives me the answer 2, which is correct. Okay, if I refresh this and say 6, 3, and Z, then it says, oh good, the answer is 2. Okay, what did I do wrong? Let me try that one more time. File, open file, where I went, I don't know. Multiply, divide. Enter the first number is a 6, enter the next number is a 3, enter the third number, which is a, we'll say, minus, okay, and it says the answer is error, which is what I wanted it to do. Let me try the Z again, because I'm not sure what I did. The answer is error. I have no idea what I did to get the wrong answer one time, but it's the right answer now. Okay. So now I've got this. So what I want to do next is I want to be able to add or subtract. So I want to be able to give the idea that I want to do a multiply, a divide, or an add, or a subtract. So instead of having error here, I want to put some code in so that I can find out if it's an add or if it's a subtract. Okay? So my question is going to be, I start out, if it's an asterisk, I'm going to do a multiply. If it's not, I'm going to ask, is it a slash? And if it is, I'm going to do a divide. If the answer is no, I'm going to ask, is it a plus? And if the answer is yes, I'm going to do an add. If the answer is no, I'm going to ask, is it a hyphen? If the answer is yes, I'm going to do a subtract. If the answer is no, I am going to have an error. Okay, so what I want you to do is try to do this. So go in and take the program as it exists and try to add in the ability to add and subtract. Yeah. Pardon me?
Thank you.
example is, this is what I want to do, if it's true, this is what I want to do, if it's false, that one told me, that one up there. That still should not have been enough not to do it, the sake of, let's say, if it is.
Okay, I'm going to go over this next week. You don't have a homework in this yet. But if you run into problems, if you go into Tools, Web Developer, Web Console, Tools, Web Developer, Web Console, it gives you a thing down below that will give you some kind of cryptic message about what the error is. Okay? I haven't given you an assignment yet, and that's on the plans for next Tuesday. But if you want to know ahead of time,
we don't have this class next Tuesday, right?
I think we do.
Or what Tuesday is it?
I think it's two Tuesdays away, isn't
it? Yeah,
that's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I meant this Tuesday.
Okay, so we have Web Developer, Web Console. So if you go to Tools, Web Developer, Web Console, it will bring up some kind of cryptic information about your error. And again, I'm going to go over that on Tuesday, but if you're having problems with it, let me know. Okay. If you send me a copy of the program that we're working on now, would you wait just a minute, please? I'm going to send you, I'll give you extra credit. So if before Tuesday you send me a copy, I'll give you extra credit. Okay, the one that you're working on right now, if you manage to do that and get it working, I'll give you extra credit. We're going to go over it on Tuesday, so that's why it has to come in by Tuesday. But if you want to try it and get it working, extra credit.
Okay.